9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks again to the Fruit of One with Girls Lacrosse team, our team's team of the week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. All right, coming up, we'll have our conversation with Connor McGahee, bring him back from yesterday as the Avs take on Edmonton tonight here on the team, pregame at 7 o'clock for that one. We'll also give you a chance to win with Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia in just a little bit, and text or call us. We also have narratives that have maybe changed for you over the years. Like Dan O'Dowd was the worst general manager in Rockies history, to Broncos should not have got rid of Tim Tebow, to Bryce Harper's big jerk.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Are we leaving something out here?
I feel like we are.
We're leaving a lot of, I'm sure, a lot of things on the table in regard to some of those kind of narratives over the years.
Yeah, I feel like we're leaving some out. I just don't know off the top of my head.
So, Pyle, this is a chance for you to offer up some of those things you thought were true once upon a time, and now they no longer maybe are true for you. Like, you and I both, initially Dan Dowd, were like, oh, Dan O'Dowd is a terrible GM.
Sucked.
Well, he built the roster that got them to the 07 World Series.
Yeah.
Only trip there, only time that they've won the National League Championship. Right now, you'd kill to have, I would kill to have Dan O'Dowd as a GM again, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Bill Schmidt, but that's a reality. I can't change the ownership, but I can change the GM.
Yeah. And I think there's a reason Dan O'Dowd has not come back.
Really. Yeah. I love his work on MLB Network. Mm-hmm. He does a great job. I remember when the Rockies were here, when the GJ Rockies first came here, because I think he was still there at that time.
Yeah, he was fired in October of 14.
Because I remember him sitting at a picnic table over at Saplesio on his laptop, working on his laptop. I'm like, do I go over and say something? Nah, he's working. I'm going to leave that guy alone.
He'd trade you at that point.
Probably would. Trade me for a bag of peanuts and a hot dog. Now, they'd be lucky to get just one of those or a singular peanut for me. Anyway, 902, if you want to share some of those kind of narratives that have changed for you over the course of time, things, or maybe you've still got one, like they should have never got rid of Tim Tebow. Should have at least kept him on the roster. Could have made him a tight end. Should have learned at the feet of Peyton Manning. Maybe still cling to that idea. You can send it to us today on the team line, 970-242-1340. You're still looking for that, like, way out of left field, outlandish thing.
The outlandish thing that you still believe in.
That you and the Pyle, you still think that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to give an inch of ground on that. All right. So yesterday was National Signing Day for local athletes. We brought you the interviews from the three Grand Junction athletes that signed yesterday. A couple of conversations from two Fruita players, student athletes that signed yesterday. One of them, Kendall Wilkinson, who signed to swim for Mickey Winder over at Colorado Mesa University. She placed 7th in the 200-yard freestyle, 8th in 100 freestyle at the 5A state swim meet in February. And so had a strong finish to her career. And Tyler Franson had the chance to talk with Kendall Wilkinson about her decision to become a Maverick.
We're here with Kendall Wilkinson. She's going to be a swimmer at Colorado Mesa University, one of the many Fruita athletes here signing their letters of intent today. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
Mickey Winder's program over at CMU, it's a pretty notorious program. They've had people come through there that have competed at much higher levels. So for you, what was the main draw for you wanting to be a swimmer at CMU?
So I've just seen their success throughout the years and the continued improvement from that coach Mickey Winder and all the other athletes have helped carry and develop this program. And it was just, the success was really inspiring and something that I wanted to be a part of and contribute to.
Besides just the program at CMU, it's got to be nice for you to be kind of a little bit closer to home, I imagine, going into your first year of college.
Yeah, it makes things a little bit more comfortable, but I've talked to a lot of other college students that have gone to CMU that have lived here in town, and they say that being on campus is like a totally different experience. Like, it doesn't really feel like you're at home. So it'll be nice if I need anything, that my parents are close and I have close relationships in town, but I think it'll still feel like a totally new experience and chapter.
In case you need to do laundry on the weekends or something like that?
Yeah.
Academically, the pursuit for you, are you thinking like you have an idea of what you want to do as a major, or are you kind of still thinking about just not really decided yet?
I'm planning on going into nursing.
That is a good program there at CMU for nursing.
That was another big draw, is that CMU had a really good nursing program and a lot of success from the nursing program as well.
All right, so that's Tyler Franson with Kendall Wilkinson. She'll compete for Mickey Winder. CMU women finished second in the nation. And the, of course, the championships out in the Midwest. So Kendall Wilkinson goes to a really good program. Another Fordham Monument athlete going to a really good program is Addie Ayer going to Adams State to compete in cross country there. Addie just, of course, wrapped up her basketball career playing for Jeff Johnson and the Fordham Monument girls basketball team. She was their top scorer, one of their top scorers, I should say, this past season, but also very successful in cross country. And Tyler had the chance to talk with Addie Ayer about going to Alamosa with an Adams State program that has an incredible legacy of national championships.
We're here with Addison Ayer. She's going to be running cross country at Adams State University, one of the Fruit of Monument Wildcats signees today. Congratulations, first of all. And for you, obviously, Adams State, you know, it's a pretty notorious cross country program. I imagine for you that was kind of a motivating factor, wanting to go to a pretty prestigious program like that.
Yeah, of course. It was so cool when they reached out to me. I was kind of shocked at first just because they are so well known in the running world. And I know for sure going down there, meeting the coach, seeing all the trophies in his room, it was crazy. And it was really cool just to see that culture. And that's something I really wanted to be a part of. So.
What was one of the things about the coaching staff when you were talking with them and met with them that really drew you in to want to be a part of the program?
Honestly, I could just really tell that they knew what they were talking about, and everything that they said, it honestly has already helped me in my track season just from talking with them that one time, because Coach Martin and Coach Baker both were just so kind and welcoming to me, and I could really tell that they had a great unified program, and that's what I really liked about it.
So besides obviously cross country, academics, Adams State, what's going to be kind of the pursuit for you over at Adams State?
I just want to see, honestly, like, how fast I can get. Like, what is my limit? I don't think that I've fully reached it yet, and so I'm excited to see where I can go.
Do you have an idea of what degree you're going to pursue or what kind of your major is going to be, or are you still kind of undecided?
I'm kind of undecided, but right now I'm leaning towards going into kinesiology and hoping to become an occupational therapist in the future.
All right, so Tyler Franson with Addie Ayer, who's going to Adams State to be part of their very successful cross-country program. Also yesterday, Ava Stevens from the softball team, she helped them get to the Final Four this past season. She hit 583 with 43 runs scored, 33 RBIs. She's going to play softball at Colorado Northwestern up in Rangeley. Her teammate, Raina Roberts, is going to Northeastern to play softball over in Sterling, and they won their region championship last season. Lauren Lee that she played with, the Roberts played with, is currently playing at Northeastern. Also, Mason Compton, who surpassed 100 points as a junior for Fordham Monument. Mason Compton also had that nasty injury, had to be taken out the field in an ambulance when he was playing for the Wildcats, but 79 career goals, had 16 this past season. He'll be playing at Dominican University, playing lacrosse out in California. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We'll have In the Garage and NASCAR Fred coming up. Also, our Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia question for you this morning. But the Avs square off against the Edmonton Oilers tonight right here on the team with pregame at 7 o'clock. Connor McGahee will have the call. We have a chance to catch up with the voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee, bringing you back that interview that we had yesterday with McGahee here on the Jim Davis Show.
Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the team.
And with us right now, radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, just in between. Is it going to be a tornado? Is it going to be a blizzard? Is it going to be a sunny day? I've lived here my whole life. I'm still not used to it. But maybe someday I will be.
Just wait 5 minutes. That's all. Remember the old adage, wait 5 minutes. And
I know. But, you know, this is why people live in, you know, in San Diego. They don't really have to worry about that.
That's true. So, yeah. Well, over here today, it's going to be, like, what, I believe mid-70s. So, you know, You know the side of the hill. You're one of the Fight 970s, so you know what
you
it's
come like. Come over there and play some golf is what I should do.
Oh, this we got.
Hey, you could get here by one if you leave now.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on over, Connor.
Don't tease me. I might actually do that today.
Tierrata's a great course. Redlands Mesa.
I mean, it's either golf here or Winnipeg.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an easy choice. See? What's the best course over there? Because I've never actually played in and around Grand Junction.
Redlands Mesa is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Book Cliff.
Copy.
It's the most well-known course.
You got to know a member, though, Book Cliff. But I'm sure we can make that happen for you.
Well, I can't believe that either of you, as celebrities, are not just
celebrities.
You can't just walk in the door and be like, "Hey, I'd like to play 18 today, please."
They specifically asked me to not show up.
My good man, I'd like to play 18 today.
Pardon me, if you do have a moment, I'd love to play 18 today.
Well, of course, sir. Of course, Mr. Van Gilder. Of course, Mr. Davis.
Not just now, but never.
Yeah. Tierrata's a really good course, public course, really good. Great backdrop of the monument, and likewise at the Redlands Mesa as well. Chipita's a nice little course. I mean, we have...
Well, executive.
Adobe Creek's
nice.
Adobe Creek. Yeah, Fruit is great.
Double Thumb down south. Really nice course.
And then you've got, of course, the bridges down at Montrose as well. So, yeah, there's some great courses. There's a ton of great courses around here.
All right.
Well, so
I'm going to make it happen this summer is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
Make it happen, man. We'd love to see you over here.
All right.
I was instructed by you not to ask about the Avalanche and what's wrong with them. So
you're going to do it anyhow.
No, what's wrong with the Colorado Rockies? Tell me what's wrong with the Rockies, Connor. You said not about the Avalanche. I didn't ask about the Rockies.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched one second of Rockies baseball this year.
Okay, you're not missing anything.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You're, trust me.
4-13. Yeah. They win yesterday?
No, they lost 5-0.
Okay, so they can't win the series versus the Phils.
No, they're done. They're toast. Yeah. See if they can get a win in the getaway game today. We'll find out. So
do we have an update on Freeland's arm? Did they say what's wrong with it?
I haven't seen.
Okay, but it's not broken, right? It just like popped out or something.
Yeah, he landed on the plate landed on his shoulder. I believe it was his non-throwing
his
shoulder.
Best friend
he went full Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon and put it back in.
He just slammed it up against the wall and popped it back in. And then he starts screaming at him out there.
Black standing there, I'm too old for this stuff.
Yeah.
Something tells me that it's not medically accurate, but I could be wrong.
That, according to the report I'm seeing, that they don't think it's anything serious is what it looks like.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because they need that 13 ERA that he has right now. So, it's good that he's going to be okay. No, I'm glad. Yeah, we want Kyle to be okay.
Not sarcastic at all.
No, we want Kyle to be okay. We do. He was here in Grand Junction with the minor league team here. Super good guy. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
All right, so we know that you're going to get to go to your favorite town in Canada.
Yay.
Yeah, Winnipeg clinching the first round home playoff advantage when the Avs and the Jets score off here in just a matter of days. So I guess this is, it's kind of what was expected, particularly after the loss to the Golden Knights, blowing the 3-goal lead, the absolute disaster at Winnipeg, which unfortunately you were with Winnipeg, unfortunately you got to witness firsthand on Saturday. So I guess just your thoughts about Avs Winnipeg to get things going here in a matter of days.
Yeah, I think that, Winnipeg is a streaky hockey team because with that win last night over Seattle, I mean, that's 7 wins in a row. I think they had lost 6 in a row before that. If you think that it's been a roller coaster by our standards this year, try being a Jets fan. So it just goes back and forth to, when do you peak? Like, is it? Is too much out right now and every team is different. And I just get the sense that with the Avalanche group, I mean, I've been reminding everybody over the past week that the last 7 games in 2022, and somebody can remind me what happened in June of 2022 in a moment, but at the end of the regular season, the Avalanche went 1-5-1 in the last 7 games. In 2022, and then engaged playoff mode. And I just think that the season is 15 games too long, to be honest. You know, and there's a little bit of mental and physical wear and tear. And there's something about the Stanley Cup playoffs that erases all that. And I think, I'm not sure that they're counting on that, but I just think that it's a fact that the playoffs are just different. And it's actually a good thing that there's been some bumps in the road here, because if you go into the postseason complacent, I don't think that's a good place to be. I know they had to work for the division title towards the end of the year last year, but it almost felt like, oh, we're playing the Kraken. It's their first playoff go around, and I know Colorado had a ton of injuries, especially in Game 7. But I just think this is almost a better mental place to be, playing one of the tougher teams and having to dig in and make it happen in different ways possible. So this is not just me being a spin artist. It's not. This is just how this team has been over the past couple of years, and it will not be easy, but I still think that the Avs win this series in six games.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahey with us today on the Team Sports Network. Sean Keeler in the Post wrote a column, and a lot of it was about Gabriel Landeskog. You're already groaning. About, you know, Landy, you know, it's not going to be back for the postseason the way it's looking, and about how this team lacks grit. I don't. I mean, I guess just your reaction. I mean, you're there. You're at practices. You know, you're at skates. You're at you call every game. I guess your evaluation, your opinion of a comment like that this is a team that lacks grit.
Yeah, and you know, I saw and laughed with Sean yesterday. I don't know that that's entirely true, because I mean, say that to Josh Manson.
Yeah.
Say that. I mean. Say that to Brandon Duhame. I mean, say that to Nathan McKinnon, even. Say that to Jack Johnson. I don't think that that's entirely true, and I would like a definition of what grit is. I mean, what does that mean? I think that with as many new bodies as the Avalanche have, they're still refining how they have to play a month in. And it worked early on for a myriad of reasons. You get that initial adrenaline jump, and you get a favorable schedule, and you won 9 games in a row with the new guys. And I think that when you have new teammates, you have to figure out how to dig out of things together. But I don't think it's because of a lack of grit. I think that style of play in that regard suits Yakov Trenin and Brandon Duhame and Miles Wood and Ross Colton. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think that the Avalanche need to now with the Edmonton game not really meaning anything outside of Nathan McKinnon trying to set the single season record for franchise points. I just think that the Avalanche have to have the mindset of playoff hockey, which they will, which includes grit. And I look up and down the roster and the styles of play and the personalities, and I would not say that grit is absent of the Colorado Avalanche.
And I feel like the Chris McFarland made some incredible moves at the trade deadline.
You know,
adding Walker, adding Mittelstadt, adding the pieces that they did. But there was that thing that we keep, you know, we're talking about, you know, do they need to get a veteran goaltender? They did not do that. They liked what they saw from Eustace Annan as the backup and Alexander Georgiev, though. Georgie's been on a bit of a rough stretch here a little bit, or has it been more Avs haven't played particularly well in front of him, Connor? Is that what is the truth? And there was a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship, yeah. Goaltending performances inspire the defense in front, and the defensive performance in front of the goaltender helps their numbers and their chances to stop. But we've heard on numerous occasions Jared Bednar say we need a stop from our goaltender, and for both over the past week, and need a big stop, and they haven't really got one. I mean, that's not necessarily fair to say. I mean, there's a couple instances. One big chance in Vegas on Sunday, that Georgiev stopped, a nice pad save going to his right. It was a wide open net, and he got one there. But it's, I just think that whatever that relationship is, defensive structure to goaltender, I mean, they've both been equally not good and not up to standard, if we're being honest. And they know that more than anybody else. And that's the one thing that they need to get tuned up. And I was talking with Cale Makar after practice yesterday, and he used the word details again. And I think the details defensively have been a bit lacking for a majority of the season. And I think those details need to be dialed up come Sunday or Monday, whatever day we start. And I do believe that they will be. But as much as we want to talk about the goaltending, it's about a defensive performance in front, whether that's defensive structure, whether that's sticks and lanes. Both have been equally not as good lately for Colorado.
We'll have the Avs in Edmonton tomorrow night, right here on the Team Sports Network with Connor. Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us. Just a couple other things. Of course, you're a DU grad. You had to be thrilled that the alma mater bringing home a 10th national championship this last weekend.
Yeah, and they were kind enough to ask me to host the celebration at Magnus Arena there on Monday night, which started back in 2017 and did the lacrosse one as well. So it's been fun to host now four of those national championship ceremonies there at Magnus Arena. But DU officially the best college hockey program in history, which, I mean, most of the country doesn't even know that the University of Denver exists. But when it comes to college hockey, they got one more than Michigan, two more than North Dakota. That feels good. The old WCHA and obviously NCHC rival as well. Denver just, and the way they did it too, the highest scoring team in college hockey going in to the tournament, and then you only score 8 goals and you're winning 2-1 and 2-0 hockey games. I mean, that shows the heart of a champion. And David Carl will get a lot of that credit, and he has been one of the most underrated stories, I think, really in all of hockey, if you go back a decade, because his brother Matt, one of Hobie Baker with the Pioneers, said that David was the better player, but because of medical issues, David could not continue playing hockey, and so he starts as a volunteer assistant coach, and not even getting paid to be there, but works his way in, is hired after Jim Montgomery takes the Dallas Stars job, and really has been one of the best coaches in American hockey, period. Obviously winning the gold medal with the World Juniors, and he's the first coach to do that and win a national championship in the same year. So I would not expect David Carl's phone to not ring this summer.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the National Hockey League, I know that the Sabres just fired Don Granato yesterday, but if I'm David Carl, I'm either really patient, but obviously he's got a new kid, and you know, college hockey is a good gig. You don't have to travel as much. You play on the weekends, and he could be totally okay with that, but he deserves to at least get calls from a myriad of teams in the NHL.
No doubt about that. You know, there'll be teams interested in David Carl. There's little doubt about that. Connor McGahee with us. Connor, got about a minute here left. I do want to very quickly ask you about the Coyotes moving to Utah The impact that may have on the Avalanche moving forward.
Well, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers played the last game at the Mullet tonight. They're the first half of a back-to-back. They come to us tomorrow. But that'll be the last home game, apparently, in Coyotes history, at least this current iteration. It all appears that the Salt Lake City area will get an NHL team. Ryan Smith paying over $1 billion for the relocation to Utah. And obviously that's a nice regional rival for the Avalanche. I mean, a pretty decent quick flight for once. We don't know if we switch divisions and go back to the Pacific and they move the Alberta teams into the Central. We'll find out. I mean, that would be tough travel for the Avalanche, but you better believe that it's a nice regional rivalry that we currently have in the NBA and in Major League Soccer and now in the National Hockey League. I know that the players from the Coyotes are excited about the stability aspect of that, and you know, I do like Salt Lake City as another mountain town, a mountain capital, I guess. here in the Rocky Mountains. So everyone, I think, is quickly and as strangely as it happened, is excited for the move, and that should become official here very quickly.
All right, Connor, appreciate it. We'll have the game tomorrow night, pregame at 7 o'clock, Avs and Edmonton right here on the team. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas. See you.
Take care. Connor McGee, radio voice of the Avalanche with us on the program this morning. All right, so Connor McGee, that game, by the way, tonight, by the way, since we talked to Connor yesterday. So we'll have it tonight, Avs and the Oilers, pregame at 7 on the Team Sports Network. And I believe our little buddy Cake's going to be at the game tonight.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
He's going to go to the game. Well, good for him.
I'm sure he'll have a great time. Last few Avs games I've had people I know at, they've lost them all. So
you're saying that I need to call perhaps Chris Schaefer over at Altitude and say, hey,
bar the doors there, Johnny.
Can you make sure that ticket isn't valid?
Yeah.
That he can't show up?
Our old buddy Droz, his last game is in Arena Entertainment Crew. They lost. My friend Chris and my nephew Miles, not together, they went to the game Saturday against the Jets. They lost.
And that was his first game, right?
That was Miles' first game, yeah.
And he plays with the Riverhawks, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does. So, better than the Avs, at least, against Winnipeg.
It's true. Very true. All right, 9:26, and it's time to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field. All right. Avs question today. Stan Kroenke owns the Avs.
I've heard that.
What year did he buy them? What year did he purchase the Avalanche? Because he has not owned them the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
In what year did Stan Kroenke buy the Avs? No multiple choice on this one. So, first correct answer on the team line, you get a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, where I believe it is Chicken Fried Steak Day in Wrigley Field, so don't miss that. What year did Stan Kroenke buy the Avs? First correct answer wins. If you won earlier today, like Jared did, sorry, Jared, you're out. If you won the last 2 weeks, you're out. And if you win today, you're qualified for the never-ending contest to win that Honda street bike, courtesy of Motorcycle Accessories. All the details at theteam1340.com. One final time, in what year did Stan Kroenke buy the Avalanche? First correct answer wins on the team line. It's 970-242-1340. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Four down territory on the way. This day in sports history. And also coming up this hour, we'll go in the garage of NASCAR Fred. Brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Stick around. It's Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
It's 9:30, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Text or call 970-242-1340. All right, so we have a winner, looks like, for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia.
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jim was first in the door with one of my favorite Conan O'Brien bits. In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
I loved that bit.
Yeah, the weird collar.
With the weird collar and the flashlight. The
flashlight under his chin. He always have, you know, like a guest person, yep. Whoever was the guest on the show would do that.
The trumpet player from the band.
Yeah.
Doing the, in the year 2000. Off key. So great. Miss Conan on TV.
He's doing his podcast now.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
And he was on The Tonight Show for the first time since he got canned. He was on there with Jimmy Fallon the other night.
Did you hear his joke where they're giving him a loud ovation? He's like, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you're cutting into my time.
That's great.
I love it.
His TBS show was okay. It was all right,
but you could kind of tell he didn't really want to do it anymore after a while, kind of after he lost The Tonight Show. Yeah.
I loved the time Steven Yeun from Walking Dead was in Beef, the Netflix show, which is really good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the DMZ, the North Korea-South Korea border, because Steven Yeun's family's from South Korea, and it was kind of a funny little bit that they did there. But, yeah, good stuff. But Coach Crabb, sorry, came up a little bit short.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate Steven wanting to play. And Steven, when you're going to play, if you're going to play, do it the way Steven did it. I can't win. But the answer is, yes, 2000, the summer of 2000, Stan Kroenke bought the Avalanche and the Nuggets from, I believe it was Ascent Entertainment owned it at that time.
I believe that is the truth.
All right, 9:33. And coming up in the garage of NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, it's time for Four Down Territory.
We're into Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start things out with first down. Look at the standings right now in the American League East. Yankees are 13-6, Orioles are 12-6, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox are all 10-9. The only division where everybody is over 500 right now in Major League Baseball. I know we've made our predictions on the World Series and everything. Chance to revise that here. Will the World Series champion come from the American League East?
No.
I don't think so either.
I believe your World Series champion will come from the Eastern Division.
Just not
the American League.
American League. Best division in baseball, though, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at the Red Sox and the Rays and the Blue Jays are all three games back.
Red Sox really should be 9-10. Stupid balk. You kidding? They beat the Guardians last night. In like 11 minutes, too, by the way. It's like, oh, first pitch. Final. Red Sox 2-0. Hold on a second.
Yeah, how about that pitching performance last night?
Jeepers creepers.
Tanner Houck?
Yeah. Like, this is a lot of fun. I went back to the Rockies game. That's how much fun that game was. Like, this, there's nothing happening here. At least the Rockies are, you know, there's a merry-go-round going around somewhere.
Well, you know, you got the Maddox.
Yeah.
But if you're not familiar with what that means.
Complete game shutout under 2 hours and 100 pitches.
Fewer than 100 pitches. In honor, of course, the Hall of Famer Greg Maddox.
Last guy to do it was maybe Mark Burley. Sounds right.
Perhaps, yeah.
Did it in like 97 minutes or something ridiculous for the White Sox. Insane. I think they also beat the Guardians / Indians that day.
All right, second down, keeping it on the American League East.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Rays with their reliever, Pete Fairbanks. The Angels were able to get a 5-4 victory last night. Fairbanks gave up two runs for the Rays in the ninth inning when they had a 4-3 lead. And the Angels win 5-4 last night. Pete Fairbanks, quote, "No, I thought I generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was an all-encompassing type of suck. So we're going to try to rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty ticked off about it." Not the word he used, but. Gotta love the candor of Pete Fairbanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not good. Third down, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother is going to have a lot of free time on his hands.
Yes, Jontay
Porter, formerly of the Toronto Raptors. And Adam Silver dropped the hammer. The NBA's investigation found Porter purposefully limited his participation in the Raptors' March 20th game against the Kings, specifically to influence the outcome of one or more bets on his performance. According to the Nets, when he was in Brooklyn, Porter claimed he fell ill after playing just 3 minutes. Lifetime ban for Jontay Porter.
Good.
He gone. Absolutely. I'm with you 100% good because we hear a lot about the officials calling into question their integrity because of the betting aspect. When it's actually happening, it needs to be dealt with swiftly and severely.
Pro sports, if you're going to lean into legalized gambling, you're going to embrace it, get the money out of those companies, have those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
When this kind of thing happens where it's as clear as the nose on your face of what he was doing, it's got to be swift, it's got to be hard, and it's got to send a message to everybody. Don't think about doing this. Don't. Seventh guy off the bench, because that's what he was.
Yeah.
Bench guy. That you're going to go out, make some bets, try to make some money off this deal. Because you're already getting paid pretty decent money. It's not like Jontay Porter was slumming, mm-hmm. slipping in his car or something like that. And now he's done. I mean, maybe he'll go to Europe and play. Maybe. But maybe. The NBA's done.
He's done in the NBA. That's absolutely for certain. We bring in Patrick Warburton's help to identify Jontay Porter.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. Moving on to fourth down. I don't know if I talked about this yesterday because I found out about this yesterday. Jason Kelce is missing something this week.
This, yeah.
They did the live episode of the New Heights podcast, Jason and Travis Kelce, at the University of Cincinnati. 17,000 strong showed up for that. They had a lot of things going on, including the Lombaby Games. And if you're not familiar with the podcast, you don't know what the Lombaby Trophy is. It's hilarious. It's hard to explain without actually being able to show you. Anyway, they did the games between the athletes and the nerds, team athlete, team nerds. And one of the games included an inflatable children's pool full of a Skyline Chili three-way. So noodles, chili, and cheese. Well, they put his Super Bowl ring in a sock and hit it, and they had to find it. There's one, their real ring and a replica ring.
Right.
They found one of them. Guess which one they found?
Not the real one.
Not the real one. And Travis Kelce calls his brother a bleeping imbecile for putting his real ring in there. And Jason's like, I'll just file an insurance claim. We've already filed a claim. He's like, you think that's actually going to come through when you just said to the world how you lost it? And so there's a debate of whether that claim is going to be approved or not. But Jason Kelce's Super Bowl ring, gone.
Sound like fun. Sound like a good
idea. Sounded like a great time, but also it's like,
What are you doing, man? That's your Super Bowl ring. It's a real thing.
I appreciate the fact where he's just like, yeah, you know what? It's a hunk of metal. But also it's like, man, you work real hard to get one of those. And you could go Sterling Sharp and have your brother give you one. But you have one of your own.
You don't need Travis to give you one of his.
Right, one of his three and counting.
You're kidding, man. You got yours, and now you lost it.
You got yours first.
Oh, yeah.
And he lost it in a tub of Skyline Chili. It probably dissolved, knowing Skyline Chili. It probably just vanished.
Just melted away.
Yeah, eat the lining of your stomach, too.
All right, 940, that's four down territory. And right now, it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, this is a big Bill Russell day. 1962, Boston's Bill Russell scores 30 points and grabs 40 rebounds. 40.
That's a lot.
To lead the Celtics to a 110-107 win. In overtime over the Lakers in their fourth consecutive NBA title. Russell's 40-rebound effort matches his NBA Finals record set in March of 1960. Also on this date, 1966, Bill Russell is named the coach of the Boston Celtics. He becomes the first African-American coach of an NBA team. Also on this day, 1967, Rick Barry scores 55 points as the San Francisco Warriors beat Philadelphia 130-124 in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And also on this day, 1987, Philadelphia's Mike Schmidt hits his 500th career home run with two outs in the ninth to rally the Phillies to an 8-6 win over the Pirates at Three Rivers Stadium. And 2001, A.C. Green plays in his 1,192nd consecutive game, which remains the NBA record. A streak started November 19th, 1986. And that's this day in sports. Oh, we got one more. I'm going to put this one in. 1999, Wayne Gretzky ends his NHL career at Madison Square Garden with an assist, setting up a second-period goal as the Rangers fall to Pittsburgh 2-1 in overtime. Before the game, Commissioner Gary Bettman announces the league is retiring the number 99 across the league in honor of the great one. Don't want to leave that one out.
Good Neiman score. Great one.
Overrated.
Yeah. Talk about AC Green, actually. Oh,
yeah, exactly. 942. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go in the garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's on the way on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast,
anybody. I want to go fast.
It's like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, he joins us, NASCAR Fred. Hello, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about that Elliott kid, huh?
Not too bad. Chase Elliott breaks a winless streak that goes back to 2022 with the win in overtime at the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 race at the Texas Motor Speedway. And Chase Elliott had to deal with several late race restarts, but able to beat Denny Hamlin, who crashed in one overtime sequence, and then Ross Chastain to earn his first victory in 42 races, a huge win for Chase Elliott.
And certainly not a fluke. I think, you know, he's immediately right back in the championship conversation. So it was an interesting race. There were four times during the race that the driver running second crashed, including on the last lap when Byron got into Ross Chastain and crashed him. Hamlin just before that, like you said, and there were a couple other times. This is a really treacherous kind of racetrack, I guess. So, I mean, to some extent, they like it that way, but it's also can be real frustrating. And by the way, you got to keep the wheels on the car. Kyle Larson found that out.
Yeah, that's important. That's a really important factor. Keep all four of them on the car, and you're going to be in good shape. At least that's half the battle. So, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, William Byram, Ty Reddick, Daniel Suarez, Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch. Also, you had finishing 10th, Carson Hochaver. So, a bit of a surprise. The young man getting a 10th place finish.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to be one to watch. Spire Motorsports, that's the same outfit that Corey LaJoie drives for. They've really kind of been gaining some ground over the last couple of years. I can't remember who it is that they have an alliance with. It might be Childress. But anyway, Carson Hocevar, he's been good in the truck series. And he's been making some noise in that 77 car. I don't think that was a fluke. He's had some good finishes already this year. He's had some bad luck and kind of gotten wrecked out of some races. But I would say keep an eye on him.
All right, so looking at the points after Texas, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Daniel Suarez, Martin Truex Jr., Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, Ty Reddick rounds out the top 10. You got Bubba Wallace at number 11. And I do, before, you know, you probably got some more about Texas, but we have to send a congratulations out to Bubba Wallace, who is going to be a daddy soon. I mean, Bubba Wallace and his wife announcing that she's pregnant.
Yep, and another one for the next generation of NASCAR drivers, right?
Absolutely.
It's funny, we've got these guys like Keelan Harvick and Brexton Bush and Karis Boyer and Owen Larson. They've all started racing already. I mean, they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they're already racing. So the Wallace kid will be a little bit behind, but still probably be in the mix.
Yeah, he's he hasn't even arrived to getting into the seat just yet, but I'm sure Bubba will have him out in a little go-kart or something not too long after he arrives. Right. We're in the garage of NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. So I want to ask you about this, Fred, that NASCAR says their charter deal is close to being done, but there's still some work to be done on that. Steve O'Donnell, of course, heads up NASCAR, said that they're working with their new media partners because NASCAR's current 10-year media rights agreement expires after this season, after 2024. And so they're working on that charter deal right now.
I don't think it's really as close as Steve O'Donnell wants to make it sound, because the article I saw, three people familiar with the team's thinking said they disagreed with Steve O'Donnell's assessment of a deal being very close. It's not that close. There's still a lot of issues that have to be worked out. There is a lot of money at stake with the whole charter deal and where all the money from that goes and that whole thing. It's going to be a little while yet before that's resolved, but things are changing. You know, you've got the deal, the different, things with the broadcasting rights and the streaming services coming in and being more a part of the picture. Just a really shifting landscaping in NASCAR, and this is kind of part of it, too. So, we'll see, but I don't think they're on the verge of signing anything just yet.
All right, so we head to Talladega this weekend. Kyle Larson right now has the lead in the cup points, and, of course, 2021 champion. He's going to go to Talladega and try to do something that he's never done there, and that's win at Talladega.
Yeah. Yeah, the super speedways, the drafting tracks really have never been his favorite thing. But, you know, he's won on pretty much every other kind of track. So it's like, well, I'm going to do this too. So we'll see. It's always such a crapshoot, such a wild card at Talladega that you really never know. A lot of guys have this circle on their calendar because, hey, this is our chance to jump into the playoffs.
And you're right. I mean, there is a lot of uncertainty as far as, you know, the Talladega always poses a challenge. Martin Truex Jr., he hasn't won at Talladega, and so there's others that, you know, certainly are looking for their first win there. And seven of the nine former Talladega race winners, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Busch, Ross Chastain, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Bubba Wallace, they're all looking for their first win. So maybe Talladega is the secret sauce here for one of those guys that have won previously at that track.
Yeah, and I see that the last seven races at Talladega, there have been seven different winners. And six of the last eight races at Talladega have been decided by a last lap pass. So just because you see that white flag, that doesn't guarantee anything. Interesting ride up to the stickers.
And so, of course, that's coming up this Sunday. The Geico 500, 1 o'clock our time, Fox TV for that one. And just looking at the odds as far as this weekend, you have... As far as your favorite, Denny Hamlin, along with William Byron, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano, along with Brad Keselowski in that mix. So, Buckeye, let's look back at last week and how we all fared.
Yes, since somebody cheated and knocked William Byron to third, I've had a third-place finish. Jim's Kyle Larson pick finished 21st. Ryan Blaney finished for Fred, but at 33rd. No points for Jim or Fred. I take a commanding lead on first place with a two-point edge. And going first today is Fred, then me, then Jim, your last. Fred, who you got?
I have got a guy who's been coming really close to came in second last week at Texas, who's won six times at Talladega. I think he's going to bust through Brad Keselowski.
Son of a...
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
Dang it. All right. So now that I can't take Brad Keselowski, dang it, that was... I hate going back to the well of William Byron and Kyle Larson, but he's got a couple of wins... And usually works better when you pick him. So I'm going to take Denny Hamlin.
Oh, damn it. I'm just giving the way you finished that. okay, so now I'm scrambling here.
You got everybody else left.
I'm going to take William Byron.
William Byron. There you go.
Willie B.
Will it be my championship pick?
All right. So, once again, Fox this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Talladega. Fred, take care, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. There he goes. Burning out of the pits, NASCAR Fred. All right. So, tomorrow's program, Max is going to be in with me tomorrow since Cake is off, bringing back that Scott Hastings interview.
Yeah.
As to help preview the Nuggets and the Lakers, which we'll have Saturday night pregame at 6 right here on the team first round of the NBA playoffs. The Nuggets look to defend their NBA title. It starts against LeBron James and the Lakers. So we'll have that tomorrow on the program. Hope to attract in Jerry Schimmel as well. So we can get Jerry to come on, talk a little Rockies baseballs. The Rockies are back home when they take on Seattle tomorrow night right here on the team. So make sure you join us for tomorrow's show. Give us a full 3 from 7 to 10. On the Jim Davis Show. All right. I think we got just a minute here. We can quickly hop in the
dumpster. We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Got anything for garbage time? You want to wrap it up here?
No, I'm good. Other than I just am still fascinated about the Pat McAfee, Bill Belichick. That's pretty much it. I just am intrigued. And maybe the only time the PMS show is appointment viewing for me next week for the draft spectacular.
Well, a lot of us have problems with what Aaron Rodgers has said over the past several months.
Years.
But people are outraged. Colin Cowherd, from Fox is not one of them. When Rogers said, I can do my own research, when Rogers suggested Dr. Anthony Fauci and the federal government was responsible for creating HIV/AIDS, it was Rogers' latest conspiracy theory to go viral. And despite sharing it during an appearance on the Look Into It podcast, it seems Rogers is constantly trying to outdo himself. And Coward said after Rogers' comment on HIV went viral, the media gets so mad. I always find this funny. Whenever Aaron does one of his conspiracy theory things, the media gets frustrated. And you got to remember something. Aaron is single, never married, no kids, doesn't connect with his family. I've been told he sends presents back. He's got nobody to call him out on this crap.